listeners, here's a story that's perfect for a few days after a presidential election. You'll understand why in just a few moments. I'll begin by introducing our guest. Dr. Usha Satish is a professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at SUNY Upstate. She and her colleagues have done some interesting research into how people make decisions. She joins us by phone this morning. Good morning, Dr. Satish.
Good morning.
And we're going to talk about your decision-making analysis in relation to Barack Obama, our newly elected president. This is quite an analysis you've undertaken. Talk to us about the basics.
Well, the basic analysis leans heavily on what's known as complexity theory in the field of psychology. And we work with a concept called VOCAD, which is volatility, uncertainty, complexity, ambiguity, and delayed feedback. What all that means is we look at how people process information, which research has shown is a lot more important in many cases, even more important than what we know. So it's really the fundamental difference between what we know and how we process this information. Well, and the how of thinking is what we actually look at.
The how people think. And this is being used actually in the corporate world, isn't it?
Yes, it's used in different worlds, all the way from the political analysis that we're going to talk about, the corporate world. We also do a lot of work with resident training in the medical world and so on, yes.
Interesting. Now, you take all of those things, you take all those attributes, and then you sort of assign them to different parts of the decision-making, differentiation and so forth. Talk to us about those parts of it.
So we believe that there are different ways of looking at how people think, and it's really about thinking styles. It's not a right or wrong or good or bad analysis. And thinking styles are broadly, simplistically put, defined in terms of differentiation, integration, and crisis analysis. So what this means is, how do people differentiate different concepts? Are they able to look at a problem from different angles? Are they able to, at the first level, understand that there are multiple ways of looking at a particular situation?
Different points of view.
Correct. That would be, simply put, differentiation. So that's sort of the first tier in the leadership how of thinking, if you will. And then the second level is the whole concept of integration. So now you know what the different points of views are. You have a good understanding of the different perspectives. How do you actually put it together to figure out what the best solution might be to a problem? And that takes a lot of other skills that is commonly known as meta-complex skills, and that's what integration is all about.
I love that, and meta-complex. That's a good word.
Right. And then lastly, there is the crisis analysis that we spoke about, where people bring in their skills of differentiation and integration to the table to handle crisis as it unfolds.
Very interesting. So now you took those three parts of it, and knowing the kinds of decisions that any president would ever have to make, you assigned it to Barack Obama to figure out how well he would make decisions in different kinds of cases. How did you do that?
Well, we basically run simulations in our labs at Upstate New York, which goes into the details of these analyses. However, for people who are very well-known and where there's a lot of literature and information available on their spoken words and potentially thoughts, we do use the same rigorous analysis that we use in our simulation technology to analyze all these statements along 9 to 25 parameters, and then we condense them into these three rubrics of differentiation, integration, and crisis analysis, and give an analysis of how they might perform under these three areas.
And so how did our newly elected president fare with these kinds of tasks?
Well, in terms of differentiation, Obama is very capable of proposing multiple and associated solutions to problems. He's able to see interrelated concepts and, in addition, also antecedents to problems. So this adds to the knowledge base that he already has and makes him very well tuned to the next step of leadership, which would be integration. And in terms of integration, he does very well in our norm data. He's able to look at multiple actions, look at long-term goals, come up with specific actions that can be used to approach a particular goal. So he does very well with integration as well.
Would you say, let me ask you a question about integration. Would you say that integration is looking for ways to perhaps negotiate to win-win scenarios for people?
Win-win scenarios, certainly. It also has a strong relationship with visionary thinking.
Ah.
In other words, people who have visionary thinking typically tend to score quite well on integration.
Aha, okay, good, good. All right, and then the crisis decisions.
In terms of the crisis, he is very strategic in responding to crisis situations and takes time. There are two ways you can respond to a crisis. One would be a rapid, quick response, which is sometimes valuable, and another way to approach crisis is to take time and sort of integrate the concepts and then take a decision. So there are certain crises where I would say that would be an integral way to function, and he scored very well on that as well.
He did. So looking back now in terms of his decision-making capabilities, do you think he was a good choice?
I think so. I think we had some very good choices on the table, and he certainly was a good choice.
Very good. Well, Dr. Usha Satish, thank you so much. This has been an interesting conversation. Certainly in retrospect to the presidential election, it looks like Americans did a good job in choosing their next president.
Thank you.
Hi. I'm psychologist Dr. Rich O'Neill with this week's Checkup from the Neck Up. Taking charge of our lives with a vocabulary lesson. Well, dear listeners, research shows we unfortunate Homo sapiens find 1, the unpredictable, 2, the uncontrollable, and 3, the potentially threatening, stressful. But it also shows the way we see and think about things can make a big difference. So while one of us gets knocked out of the water by something, quack! A luckier, pluckier duck finds the same event splashingly exciting. Quack, quack! How to minimize quack and maximize quack, quack! Well, unless your crystal ball is more Harry Potter than mine, we can't do much about 1, predicting the willy-nilly of our moment to moment. Best we can do is plan for the likely, be open to what comes, breathe deep through pain, and savor life's pleasures. As for 3, we already know a lot we can do to reduce potential threats. Exercise, eat right, quit smoking, and doing them is less stressful. But today I want to talk about one thing I keep rediscovering that shifts some things from seeming uncontrollably stressful to quack, quack. First, it helps to be aware of signs when we feel like life has a boot on our neck. For me, I know the worry lines on my forehead deepen. Until if you look close, you'll see a tiny duck that looks just like me, shooting the rapids way down in the bottom of these canyons. I usually hear him first, yelling things in a teeny voice like, "These rapids are too fast! This is unfair! Why do I need to do this?" My vocabulary of victimhood. And while there are things we have no control over, it's often the attitude we take in response that makes the difference between misery or riding the waves for all we're worth. When we're into, "Why do I need to do?" seeing no choice, we go down into misery. The simple but not so easy trick back to plucky is to delete the word need from our vocabulary. If we think about it, the only things we really need are food and water, air, sleep, shelter. All the rest is want and choice. So next time you're feeling stressed and out of control, see what happens if you delete need and try, "I'm choosing to do this because I want ... For example, if you're into, "I hate my job, but I need the money," try, "I'm choosing this job because I want money for..." then fill in the blank. I bet you'll like it. And if you really can't find any reason you'd choose to do it, you might choose another job that fits what you want and your skills better. That'll be less stressful. Well, I need to go. I mean, I'm choosing to go. I'm Dr. Rich O'Neill. Thanks for choosing to listen.